This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You've switched on to another Joy podcast.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
A big thank you there to Milan for excellent work with the news, and Dean filling in drive time. Must be a bit weird coming from breakfast to drive. All out of whack. Dean from Murphy's Law. Thanks, guys. This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe one country at a time. It's just myself, Matt, and Paul.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hello. Winning a title like International Mr. Lever would make you an A-lister with guaranteed invitations to LGBT events around the globe. But what would you want to do with your reign to make it more than just parading around in a leather jockstrap?
We're going to find out, because we are speaking with a Canadian country boy who got to those dizzying heights of the world's leather scene.
And what inspired him to want to visit the gay communities in far-flung countries like Uganda and Ukraine?
And in describing his visits as life-changing, what did he learn from the activists in these countries with such harsh anti-LGBT laws?
To go behind the scenes and discover his motivations and hopes, tonight we are speaking to Mr. International Lever, Patrick Smith. And here's a taste of what we've got coming up tonight.
They're appreciative just that somebody went there, and you're absolutely right. Yeah, Uganda doesn't have a leather community. But, you know, maybe they will someday when they're more free to feel comfortable coming out and expressing themselves. You know, I think right now they're really just fighting for their lives. So I didn't want to go there solely in my capacity as International Mr. Leather, but I just wanted to go there as a voice of somebody who is from the Western world, who, you know, has somewhat of an audience in Western society, who can help raise awareness for their cause.
And we love, love, love you to be part of the show. You can message us SMS 0427JOY949 or email straight to the studio onair@joy.org.au. We are also live on Facebook for your questions and comments.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
And across to Japan first, where Japan's first ever lesbian drama, which has yet to go to air, has already been accused of being out of date.
It's already creating drama.
Already creating drama. Yes, it's been announced by Fuji Television that the series Transit Girls will focus on a lesbian couple, telling the story of the 18 and 21-year-olds who initially clash when they become stepsisters as their parents marry, but they later fall in love.
Well, just the old story of two girls can't stand each other and then fall in love.
Indeed. Now, despite this being a first for Japan, it's an 8-part series, it has been accused of being out of date because of the promo shots, which basically feature the two lead characters in bed naked together, looking into each other's eyes and smiling. The head of a workplace equality movement in Japan has come out and said the poster is sending the wrong image. Having two girls lying naked on a white sheet and using the words like forbidden is a little out of date, I think, they said. Is it better to have the images portrayed on TV at all? Maybe that's a start. It is a start of a bit of a trend in Japan, where politicians have started making plans to look into LGBT rights in the run-up to the Tokyo Olympic Games.
Were they complaining about the words or the images?
Both, I think. Still in Japan, there has been outrage in some courts, actually from the legal sector, that a ban on gay sex comics has been put in place at a Tokyo prison. Essentially, manga, which is, Japanese-style comics, and it features gay themes. There's been a guy in prison who requested some of these comics.
As just reading material.
And it was denied by the prison officials. And the Tokyo Bar Association has actually taken up his case and said, well, look, if you are allowing other reading materials for other inmates, then you must allow this. And so far, the detention house has refused to allow the man to view the materials, claiming it would cause problems in maintaining discipline and order within the facility.
Over to Russia. And 2 years after the Russian President Vladimir Putin signed into law the so-called gay propaganda law, they're actually thinking of making it even more punitive for LGBT people.
They couldn't make it worse.
Oh, they could. And they're going to try. What they're going to do is, if anyone makes a public declaration that they are in a non-traditional sexual orientation, they can get fined 50,000 rubles, which is about 80 Australian dollars. So not a great deal amount.
Essentially, though, if you come out...
So if you flounce around...
If you sing a song saying, I'm happy, I'm gay, you can be fined.
And...
Potentially, you know, fined. It hasn't
have
come
a rainbow yet. Flag somewhere near your body.
Now, this has come out of members of Putin's ruling United Russia Party. The original laws that came through, the anti-gay propaganda laws, were passed unanimously. And so now they are pushing for these further laws to protect the cultural establishment.
Yes, and since the original laws were introduced, the LGBTIQ community within Russia and its territories have faced more
violence and intimidation, and it's really escalated quite a lot, and a lot of LGBT people leaving Russia. Now, from the bizarre to the ridiculous, across to Zimbabwe now, where President Robert Mugabe, the 91-year-old president of Zimbabwe, has been awarded the equivalent of the Nobel Peace Prize.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, exactly. It's actually come from China. China started up this award intended to rival the Nobel Peace Prize. But President Mugabe has turned it down.
He's turned down an award?
Indeed.
Didn't any money come with it?
It was a surprise to everybody that he was announced as the winner of this China-backed award. It was decided by 9 esteemed academics in China. But the Chinese government has since come out and said, we actually don't endorse this award. So therefore, the Zimbabwe government has said, well, we don't recognise it at all either. As far as the Zimbabwe government, the matter has ended as far as the government and the president were concerned.
Some better news. Over in Taiwan, they've had a same-sex couple's mass wedding. And this is even in a country where same-sex marriages aren't legal. So figure. Yeah.
They've had a wedding for everybody, which has been... It's been going on for about 10 years, actually. Mm-hmm. They have these mass weddings and the mayor comes and officiates
a
wedding.
Yeah, so it's the mayor of Taipei who officiated, over 123 couples who tied the knot.
And as a result of that, they have included, there were 11 same-sex couples that came along and took part in the event, which is fantastic. One couple, I love this, one couple dressed as chefs and carried kitchen utensils in their hands as they walked down the aisle.
Well, I hope they
Why, I hear you ask.
I hope they weren't carrying any knives.
No. They did say it was a symbol that they wanted to spend more time in the future being house husbands for each other, having spent the last decade involved in social movements. Well, that's a bit different, I say. It's actually the second Taiwanese city to hold these group weddings that were also open to same-sex couples. The mother of one lesbian couple that took part said, ever since I knew about her lesbian identity, I have always thought that she would never marry like everyone else does. I could never have predicted this. It feels surreal, but I'm so happy for them.
In brief, in the UK, 15,000 same-sex marriages have been legalised since the beginning of March 2014.
In Slovenia, anti-gay forces are pushing for a new referendum to overturn same-sex marriage.
In Chile, civil unions for same-sex couples started on Thursday.
And in the UK, hockey players at Nottingham University are the latest to strip down for a calendar to fight homophobia in sport. And that's a wrap.
Your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
You're listening to Joy and World Wide Wave, and that was Leather and Lace by Stevie Nicks and Don Henley.
Oh, I like that one. That's a really, it's a bit more chilled than we normally play, but it is such an iconic song. And of course, we're playing that because we're talking leather tonight. We will be speaking shortly with international Mr. Leather, Patrick Smith. And we posted a photo of Patrick on Facebook. It's something you really do want to check out. In fact, we've already had a few likes. Thank you, Angel, for the like. I like to, yes, have a look at that. It's W3Joy on Facebook. Messages coming in. Fernando's messaged, at least the images, this is to do with the Japanese lesbian TV show, at least the images are unambiguously lesbian and not some chaste, wishy-washy promo shots that don't make the subject matter clear. They're not exploitative either, with no baby oil or lingerie to be seen. Interesting. Thank you, Fernando, on 0427JOY949. Another one through from 317 with Jermaine Greer. Are we still listening to Jermaine Greer and her narrow-minded views on transgendered people? So this story came up during the week where basically Jermaine Greer said transgender people weren't real women, and she's backed it up with an expletive-laden defence of what she was saying. I won't read it out, but she basically says, if you haven't got a willy, then it doesn't make you a woman. But just put in lots of bleeps in there as well. I guess we kind of agree with you on that one, in that I think she likes to hear her own
voice. We don't agree with Jeanette.
No, we don't. We agree with our message, 317 there. We agree with your message that are we still listening to her? Well, we were trying to sort of ignore that one tonight because we think giving oxygen to somebody who perhaps doesn't need that oxygen,
I think, is old news.
Yes.
She is concerned.
Back to the 70s, Jermaine. That's what I say.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
So we're speaking all things leather tonight and the International Mr. Leather Competition, which is an international competition, although largely American. No, it's one of those world things, but lots of Americans.
Started in 1979 in Chicago, Illinois. Very American.
Indeed. It's a multi-day event, and it's one of those tiered events where you have to start at a local event and win your local event, and it gets you up to the national event, and then your national people become contenders for the international title.
Sounds very much like Miss Universe or...
It is, but in leather.
In leather.
In jock straps and things like that.
Slightly hairier contestants.
Very much so. It is a social event as well. There's various speakers, social events, themed dance parties, and a leather market, all a part of this thing that is an event. And it started, the original version started as Mr. Gold Coast, which was a bar in Chicago. And the owner of the bar and his then partner started this contest. It became one of their most popular events, so it then went to become international.
Which probably should go through the structure of the competition.
What it takes, indeed. So, as I was saying, there must be a winner of a lower-level feeder competition, and that can be a bar. So, in fact, our guest tonight won his bar, I forget the name of the bar, actually, won that and then went through the processes.
And it's not just a matter of prancing around in jockstraps.
There is more to it, as we will learn.
So, 60% of the score actually comes from an interview, as well as stage presence and personality.
In fact, the interview is with 9 judges, so they're all getting their different views to make sure that Mr. Leather is the right one. They also have a Saturday pecs and personality event.
Which does account for 40% of the score.
Your pecs count for 40%.
I'd like to see those pecs. Yeah. Matt and I just sort of suddenly lost the plot.
That's right.
There.
Yes, yes. Now the highest and lowest scores are ripped out, and then they work with the ones in between. Once you've gone through that preliminary round, the 20 finalists are then judged on a scale where there's 3 criteria: 40 points for leather image, 40 points for presentation skills, including a contestant speech.
And 20% for physical appearance.
So I think that's actually interesting that the physical appearance is the lowest rated score there, which is a good message.
I was surprised that they didn't actually have an interview again in the second one. But
well, they've got the speech.
Yes.
So I guess, and when we speak to Patrick tonight, he sort of reflects on some of the things that he said and wanted to do in that speech.
It does have equal points to the leather image as well, which is good.
Which are then eventually boil down to one, which indeed is International Mr. Leather, Patrick Smith. And he is a Canadian now living in Los Angeles, and he beat a field of 52 contestants from five countries to become this year's International Mr. Leather. And he even got a congratulatory kiss from his mum on stage. Since he has won the title, he has indicated through his actions that he wants his reign to be remembered more for his international advocacy work than for his leather jockstrap. We started by asking Patrick when leather first became a part of his life.
I'm originally from Canada, and I've been in Los Angeles now for about 4 years. But, you know, ever since coming out when I was in Canada and everything like that, I had always just really been attracted to guys in leather. And, you know, just something about the attitude, just the unapologetic sex appeal. I loved it. And there wasn't a huge leather community where I'm from in Canada. So when I moved to Los Angeles 4 years ago, it was something that I immediately started exploring. So definitely all of my adult life, I have been into it and attracted to it, but I really started exploring it about 4 years ago.
So when you started out to vie for the title of Mr. Los Angeles Leather, was the international competition a part of your plan?
No, so I actually started out, so the way it works in Los Angeles is you start out and you run for a lower level title. So it's either you represent a bar or a leather association or something like that. So my very first title is Eagle LA Mr. Leather, and Eagle LA is the biggest leather bar in Los Angeles. So the Eagle is my home and the bar that I've been coming to ever since I moved there, and I really wanted to represent it. So that's why I ran for the title. And when I first started out in the Eagle contest, I had no plans to win IML. But, you know, as I continued along in the process and things got bigger and bigger, it was more important for me to do that. And as I kept going, I saw a bigger opportunity to have a bigger platform, a bigger microphone, a bigger audience, and to be able to actually do some really important advocacy work. So that's in the end why I really wanted to win. It's a big one.
On that note, it's kind of Hollywood folklore that, you know, beauty queens all want world peace but end up opening shopping malls.
But you're right, right.
You've chosen to take on advocacy as an important part of being International Mr. Gay Leather. What made you want to do that?
You know, I really wanted to give back. And, you know, there's a reason that there is an I in IML. This is an international title. And, you know, I looked around and when I was writing my speech for IML, which is something that we all have to give up there on stage, I wanted to impart to the audience that I recognize the importance that this is an international title and that the winner should do something for the international community. So in my speech, I talked a lot about the progress that we had made and, you know, the fact that I'm from Canada and legal same-sex marriage is the only situation that I can remember. Talked about how my mother is in the audience at IML, my husband is in the audience, I'm legally married. But I also wanted to tell people that, you know, this is all progress that's largely been made in the Western world. And in a lot of other parts of the world, things are actually going backwards. They're not making any progress. So, you know, because this is an international title, I want to get out there and help the people in those places where LGBT people are really living on the fringes of society. And, you know, I think that there is so much work that we can do for them. And now that a lot of our rights battles have been won in the Western world, there's always work to do. But now that we've made a lot of progress, I think it's time that we start turning our focus to the places where people are really being persecuted for their sexuality.
Hello, Australia. This is Noam Apple and Tom from Apple Models in Thailand. The world first transgender model division on Joy 94.9.
It's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Bit of action on Facebook at the moment. W3Joy on Facebook for Worldwide Wave. Pete also likes the image of our guest tonight, Patrick Smith, and I don't blame you, Pete. Message.
Join the queue.
Message from Greg on the UK hockey players story, stripping to fight homophobia, asking, Matt, are you going to spearhead the Melbourne version of this? Greg, the answer is no, but thanks for the thought.
Sorry, Greg, he's already naked. Can't you tell?
And Richard is in responding to the story of Robert Mugabe getting China's equivalent of the Nobel Peace Prize, just says, speechless.
We are going to go back to International Mr. Leather. So Patrick chose countries to visit which have some of the harshest anti-LGBT laws and cultures. and little or no leather community. Starting with Uganda, we asked Patrick how he was received by the locals.
They were appreciative just that somebody went there, and you're absolutely right. Yeah, Uganda doesn't have a leather community. But, you know, maybe they will someday when they're more free to feel comfortable coming out and expressing themselves. You know, I think right now they're really just fighting for their lives. So I didn't want to go there solely in my capacity as International Mr. Leather, but I just wanted to go there as a voice of somebody who is from the Western world, who, you know, has somewhat of an audience in Western society, who can help raise awareness for their cause. So they don't care that I'm International Mr. Leather. You know, they don't care that I stomped around on stage in a jock strap for 3 nights straight. they just care that somebody went there and that somebody's going to go back home and talk about it and raise awareness. And that's really what I wanted to do. You know, I think that a lot of people in the leather community, we spend so much time talking to each other and talking amongst ourselves. And I think it's time that we really started projecting outward and, you know, showing people in the rest of the world that, you know, we are compassionate and that we can really make a difference.
You described your experience in Uganda as life-changing. What did you learn from them?
You know, they're just so incredibly brave, especially the activists there. I mean, they really do put their life on the line every single day that they go to work, and I think that's so admirable. There was one, I met with Dr. Frank Mugisha, who's a Nobel Peace Prize nominee, and he described a story where there was a boy that reached out to him, and he said, you know, I'm thinking about committing suicide. In fact, I might do it tonight. And they always have to be concerned about entrapment situations there. So, you know, the possibility of somebody reaching out to them through Facebook or through email, and it just being, you know, a trap so that, and, you know, they could end up being assaulted or murdered or whatever. So he wasn't sure, but he actually went to the boy's home and counseled him, and it wasn't a trap, and he actually saved the boy's life. He's still alive today. But by taking that risk and by going out there, he's putting his life on the line, and they are putting their lives on the line every single day. So, you know, just to see that bravery is so admirable, and it really did change my life to see that.
That is fantastic. Across to Ukraine, you've also recently been to. Now, it's a country where there are laws that are much more accepting of LGBT people, but the culture hasn't caught up. Is that your experience while you were there?
Yeah, that is my experience. You know, they have a long way to go in terms of the actual cultural norms of society and things like that. Because I had read about the laws and everything like that, and that some protections do exist. You know, homosexuality isn't criminalized there officially. But having gone there, I was expecting a situation that was better than actually what I found, which is unfortunate. As you know, they went through their revolution in 2014. They now have a democratic government, which is more pro-European Union. So I expected to hear about progress they were making and everything like that. But, you know, instead, I heard some incredibly sad stories. And, you know, what's happened since or throughout the revolution, a lot of the gay or LGBT meeting places, community centers, gay bars, things like that in Kiev, they were vandalized and they were shut down. They still never recovered. And this is in Kiev, which is, you know, it's metropolitan. It's the biggest city in the country. So you can imagine what it's like for LGBT people in the rural areas. You know, I did talk to people from the eastern region of the country along the Russian border. It's an incredibly sad situation. There are pro-Russian terrorist groups and extremists that actually use social media to hunt down openly gay people and target them and assault them. I spoke with four women who are living in a shelter in Kiev who had to pick up and flee in the middle of the night without any word to their families or anything like that because they were being targeted by anti-gay extremists. And, you know, you hear about these stories and it's just absolutely heartbreaking. And also looking at Crimea, which, of course, is the peninsula that Russia invaded last year, Crimea was actually a hotspot for gay and lesbian tourism in Ukraine. They had all sorts of gay bars. They actually had a gay resort there. And, you know, just imagine that, this wonderful enclave for the gay and lesbian community, and all of a sudden it's Russian territory with the extreme laws they have in Russia. So everything shut down there. The gay and lesbian community had to flee. There's no more gay resort, no more gay bars. The LGBT community in Ukraine has just been pushed further underground by the revolution, which is very unfortunate.
Did you feel that sense of a country being torn, if you like, between the old memories of Russia and perhaps the new possibilities of Europe? Did you feel that tension in the community?
You know, there's a lot of hope in the gay and lesbian community that it will go that way. But, you know, one of the things that is discouraging and that they've said is very frustrating for them is that while most Ukrainians are very in favor of things like economic integration with the European Union, they are still culturally and socially extremely conservative. And that's something that they really don't see changing anytime soon. So while it may seem like Ukrainian society is being pulled more towards the Western world, that's really just when it comes to economics and democratic ideals. But when it comes to social issues, it is still extremely, extremely conservative. And that's something they don't see changing anytime soon, which is sad.
Ukraine and Uganda are very different places, but did you notice commonalities in the LGBT communities and, I guess, the people who are fighting for change?
That's a very good question. You know, there are similarities and differences. In Uganda, it is so far underground. They have to be just so careful about even declaring themselves and declaring who they are. I'll give you an example. So, you know, meeting with the staff at Sexual Minorities Uganda, you walk into their compound, it's beautiful, but it's sad how many security precautions they need to take. You know, they're surrounded by reinforced iron, solid iron gate. All of the vehicles in the compound, the glass is tinted pitch black, so you can't see who's driving the car. They have digital locks on all the doors. They can go into lockdown at a moment's notice if they need to. It actually took a lot of outreach to even get meetings with the activists in Uganda, because there's the very real concern of entrapment and, you know, what if somebody's misrepresenting themselves on social media and what if it's a trap? So you see these activists needing to be more careful, and in Uganda it's a little bit more grassroots and relationship-based, whereas in the Ukraine they're able to be a little bit more out there, a little bit more visible themselves, the activists, which is great. And I'm sure Uganda will get there as things gradually do improve. But the Ukrainian activists are able to be a little bit more aggressive.
That is the inspiring voice of Patrick Smith, International Mr. Leather, speaking about the daily challenges for activists in Uganda and Ukraine, which he recently visited.
It was quite brave of him to actually go, I thought.
It is. And I look at that very first question about, you know, what did these people think of you? Because I'm sort of picturing this guy in full leathers, you know, rocking up at the airport or something. And obviously this is not what happened, but this is what happened in my head.
And, in your dreams, in yes. Dreams.
And people going, you know, what's going on? I love the concept, though, that they just wanted somebody to... They just wanted to know...
That someone recognised them.
And somebody knew they were there, yeah. And they were fighting. They're fighting their own fight, but they're just happy to know that somebody is there, standing near them, keeping an eye out, listening to what's happening.
And we are.
That's what our show's dedicated to.
Yes. We messages. Tell their stories.
Indeed. Messages coming in on 0427JOY949. How many lesbians amongst Gen Y are prominent in Leather Pride? It's predominantly for men over 40. Great, he has substance to his title. I agree. Why aren't there more lesbians in Leather? We need to ask a lesbian that one probably than you. But
I believe the Dykes on Bikes would argue with that. But anyway.
True. Perhaps some of our listeners have a view on that one. Another one, loving tonight's topic. This is Latasha. Loving tonight's topic. It's amazing to hear that Leather Pride can actually be used to promote LGBT rights in such remote locations. Great work. You are on Worldwide Wave. We are talking all things leather, and we've got more of Patrick Smith coming up.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
The messages are continuing to come in. What a popular topic we have tonight. Thanks for taking a subculture I'm not familiar with and producing a thoughtful yet informative show about the topic. Well done. Thank you for that message. And another one, Gordon on reception, who's with us every week. Thanks, Gordon. He's had a call through from Jenny, who wishes to add her thoughts to the leather conversation regarding lesbians. She thinks a lot of it boils down to ignorance, plain and simple. Lots of them don't understand what it's about. Some think it's related to violence, for example. Some people just aren't into it, the same as for gay men. education is important. The reason we're talking leather is because we've been speaking with International Mr. Leather, Patrick Smith, and we asked him if he felt the spirit and determination for change in the LGBT communities of both Uganda and Ukraine.
Yes, absolutely. Both communities are extremely eager to see things change. And, you know, it is a discouraging fight at times for them. And, you know, I could feel the discouragement when I was talking to them. But they are very hopeful things are going to turn around. They are making progress, albeit slowly, the activists. If they ever thought that the life in prison for homosexuality law would ever come back, it was recently struck down by their Supreme Court. And they all told me that, no, it's never going to come back, and they were unanimous on that. And that surprised me, because it's a very positive development for them. And they said that the outcry from the international community was so harsh and so damaging to Uganda's international reputation that the government would never want to risk that happening again. So, you know, we do see the leaders speaking out against homosexuality and things like that, and we do hear about the atrocities, but we do see glimmers of hope and of progress. And, you know, it really does help to have governments in the Western world speaking up and politicians speaking up against these human rights atrocities, because these countries are concerned about their international reputation. You know, it is very discouraging. And you hear people say in Africa that they don't believe that they will ever see equality for LGBT people in their lifetime. But, you know, you go back and think about it, and do you think that the rioters at Stonewall in New York ever thought that they would see gay marriage in their lifetime? And most of them didn't, but a lot of them actually lived to see it. You know, it took 40 years, but eventually we got there. And change can happen quicker than a lot of people think. So I'm hoping that that's the case for Africa.
And what else do you have planned during your reign as International Mr. Leather?
I'm going to continue going to these places and continue speaking up. I'm going to be heading to Cuba later on this year. That's a community that I really want to see. And then I think towards early next year, I'm going to actually be back in Africa. I would like to see some of the other countries. You know, every one of them is different, of course, and everyone has their own situation. But I think that Africa is a really important place to go just because there is so much work to be done there. So that's going to be an area of my focus going forward.
That's fantastic. Patrick Smith, International Mr. Leather, thanks for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you so much. It's so great to speak with you guys.
And we will keep in contact with Patrick throughout his reign and his adventures around the world. We'd love to speak to him after he's been to Cuba. I think that would be another fascinating place.
He's going to be our roving reporter in leather.
Indeed. Indeed. I promise to stalk him faithfully. Yes. Patrick Smith, International Mr. Leather, taking time out to speak to us from Los Angeles there. He did also touch on Africa and Uganda. News just yesterday out of Uganda of a trans activist that was bashed and is in hospital. A football coach was jailed just a couple of weeks ago, convicted of sodomy on some very, what seems to be flimsy evidence. So such challenges in some of these countries.
I didn't think they actually required evidence in Uganda.
Well, some of the evidence was they found some dermatological creams that the guy used, and they said that was used by homosexuals in sexual practices and, you know, really dodgy stuff. So I think to have advocates such as Patrick going there and saying, look, keep fighting, and just his enormous positivity and, you know, putting things in perspective, saying that it wasn't that long ago that marriage equality in the US wouldn't have even been thought about, and now it's there. So things can happen with good people.
And it's generated quite a lot of interest here, the number of messages we've had flooding in.
Lots of messages tonight. We love those messages. Do keep them coming. And we will come back and wrap up tonight on World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
We've really, really enjoyed speaking with International Mr. Leather tonight, Patrick Smith. You can find out more of the competition at IMRL, internationalmrleather.com, and more about Patrick himself. Follow him on Facebook. You can see his adventures around the world. It's facebook.com/PatrickJohnSmith. Patrick John Smith.
We both already liked him.
That's right. And we will pop that on our Facebook page too. So if you sign up to W3Joy, we post all sorts of news from around the world throughout the week, and you can be up to date with international news and current affairs for the LGBT community. Catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for tuning in to yet another Joy podcast sponsored by Audible. You can support Joy by signing up to a free 30-day Audible trial. Get your very own free audiobook now. audible.com.au/joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.